Let us pray together the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word time and time again seeking understanding. Illuminate our hearts and minds that we might believe this testimony and rejoice in the truth. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because their shame was double and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Let's join together and sing Prepare the Way in the Big Blue, page 13.
Thank you. Our gospel today comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through it, and without it, nothing came into being. What has come in being with it was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John was a man sent by God. We know a few things about John. We heard about him last week, and finding him again in the lectionary is a little bit confusing. John the Baptist again? Because John isn't the easiest character to deal with all of his camel hair clothes and his diet of honey-coated locusts. How's that for a breakfast cereal? It doesn't help that we're hearing about John the Baptizer here in the Gospel of John, but we mustn't mistake one for the other, the writer of the Gospel for the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord. They are two different people. And this gospel doesn't even call John the baptizer or the Baptist. And it de-emphasizes his baptismal role, though it is there. And John doesn't even baptize Jesus in the John account. And we begin to wonder, why is he here again? Why are we hearing about John again here on this third Sunday of Advent? Well, the short answer is found in the verses I read from Genesis and verses 6 through 8 of John. He was sent by God to testify to the light. To testify means to attest or affirm, to point to. John came to point to the light, to show people the light that was to be the way, the truth, and the life for all people, so that all people might believe. He's a witness whose purpose was to authenticate or to corroborate the light who shined in the darkness, the light who was coming into the world. The Pharisees came to John. "Who are you?" they asked. "Not the Messiah, not Elijah, not the prophet." "I am," John said, the one Isaiah was talking about, the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. How can you baptize? By what authority? They asked. I am the harbinger, the herald of the light, says John. Therefore, I baptize with water, but the light is coming, is even yet among you, though you don't know him. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. John is neither the light nor the word, but a witness to the light and the word, the testimony that the darkness is about to be faced with a challenge it cannot overcome. It is Advent, the third Sunday. We're well on our way to Christmas and a baby in the manger. The herald in that story is an angel, but John is no angel, but a human being, flesh and blood and bone. But he is a herald nonetheless, a messenger all the same. John reminds us that we too are flesh and blood messengers, witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ. John reminds us that we too are not the Messiah, we are not Elijah, we are not the prophet. But we are the ones who point the way to the light, the good news. And we will hear the good news from the lips of Jesus. The blind see, the lame walk, the hungry and thirsty are filled. The oppressed find justice. John seeks to prepare us for this good news through a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. The things that Jesus describes as good news are the beginnings of a new creation, the birth pangs, as Paul calls them. But only through repentance, in the Greek metanoia, are we able to realize the wholeness that is represented through the new heaven and the new earth, and yet another John's revelation. Repentance or metanoia is a change of direction, a turning around, in other words, a taking on of a new way of life. That new way of life will lead the human race to a place of wholeness in which all things that Jesus speaks about are realized, and we will be saved. John points us in the direction of salvation by pointing toward the light, but this isn't a salvation for special individuals, but a salvation of all humanity. A little later in the first chapter of John's gospel, John the Baptist sees Jesus and calls out, there he is, the one who will take away the sins of the world. Not my sins or any one individual's sins, but the sins of the world. John is a witness that in the end, the world will be saved. The light will overcome the darkness, and the creation that God called into existence in the beginning will be restored, and it will be good. This is what we hope for. This is what we long for as human beings, isn't it? We hope for a time in which there is no more cancer or Alzheimer's disease, no more choosing between electricity and dinner or medicine and dinner, no more fear of the other that causes unnecessary deaths. No more despair or anger over a lost way of life, because life will be complete and perfect. We all have hopes for something better. We don't always agree what that something better is going to look like, but we all hope for the better, the good, the light shining in the darkness that cannot be overcome by that darkness. Most of us, anyway, want the better and the good and the light, not only for ourselves, but for everyone, for all people. We want things for ourselves and our family. That's only natural. And those hopes may be very personal, but we all want an end of suffering for all human beings. At least I hope so. In order to realize these hopes, however, we also have to have faith, which is somewhat different from hope. Faith, according to Barbara Brown Taylor, is radical trust in what God is doing, even when the divine mode of operation is far from clear. This is where John the baptizing one comes into play by being the pointer, the witness to what God is doing, the one who makes things clear for us. He tells the world around him and us too that the things that we hope for can and will come true through the repentance and through the one who has come bearing good news. The repentance piece is important, though, because without it, the wholeness is just not possible. As we saw earlier, repentance is more than just being sorry or confessing that we've messed up, although that's important. Excuse me. But we also must redirect our way of thinking and doing and being in the world. It may be that we have to repent many times throughout our lives, though we only baptize once. But in order to get to wholeness or completeness or perfection, we must constantly correct our course, like a ship through the ocean that has nothing to steer by but the stars. If our course is Jesus' good news, then our navigation tool is John the Baptist, urging us to correct until our course is perfectly aligned with the course of his good news. All this means is that we have a hand in bringing creation back to its completeness. Like John, we are witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ, the news that the blind will see and the lame will walk without having to go bankrupt, that the hungry will not have to choose between food and the light bill, the oppressed will not have to commit suicide or endure cruel and unusual punishment, but will receive justice. Along with being witnesses to the good news, we work together to make these things possible by not only giving to the poor, but by coexisting with them, coming to know them as people and not just problems. And sometimes we might even see the light in them. We work to make these things possible by being active in our communities in the name of Jesus Christ. We make these things possible when we live a compassionate life, regardless of whether those around us appear to be worthy of compassion. We make these things possible when we offer forgiveness whenever it is needed. We offer reconciliation wherever it is possible. And we offer comfort wherever it is necessary. Always in the name of Jesus Christ, perhaps not in an in-your-face kind of way, but as one's calling in the wilderness for the world to be prepared, for change is coming. Change is coming. And it will be good. Amen.
Let us respond to the word by stating what we believe. Let's use Apostles' Creed, the ecumenical version, which is on page 14 in the front of your big blue hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we wait and we listen. Please receive these offerings and with them ourselves too. In your name we pray. Amen. The deacons come forward, please.